Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, let's start with this analysis from the New York Times. As Americans shift on racism, Trump digs in. President Trump increasingly sounds detached from the country's political middle, and even some of his allies. We're also seeing stories about black veterans recalling pain of Confederate name bases as the growing calls for removing those names came, and President Trump declared that he would block any of the 10 bases from being renamed.
Well, that's right, David. This president has a plan, and his plan has obviously been dog whistling to about a third of the country who believe that people of color, African Americans, and others should not be running things around here. So we see there's a plan, obviously, to repress mail-in voting when he mails in his own vote. That the idea of expanding the franchise is something that is an anathema to him because it goes against his concept of how I win an election. So when you take some of the dog whistling, things like saying, I'm not going to take the Confederate names off of the army bases, staffed in large part by people of color, he is basically saying to his people, you see, I'm with you. Then he has his press secretary get out there and start talking about how he is so concerned about black Americans, and he's done more for black Americans than anybody. Wait. You know what that's all about? When the economy was booming, people of color were getting jobs, and he had a claim. Right now, it's anything but. People are out of work, so he has not done more than anybody else. In fact, he's done less, and he is, as I say, indicating to his people that I'm with you and not with them.
Does it have the opposite effect that the president wants? In other words, his reacting to the death of George Floyd by picking at the scab of racism in this country is driving Americans together rather than apart.
The first and only question here is, this president obviously has a big problem with people of color. The question is, will the people who have been coming to the rallies, will the young people, you and I have been college professors for a long time, David, and we know that getting people off their behinds and into a voting booth is not the easiest thing in the world. We know it. We ask the question in class I had for years. Now, there is an indication that this year may be different. Elections are often won by a few percentage points, especially in those key states in the Electoral College, which means so much. So if young people go out, if people of color go out, if Hispanics go out, you're going to see a difference in the electoral outcome. That's what this is all about. Will people, faced with the most fundamental needs that they have, that they and their family, education, health care, and everything else, say, okay, I have to do this. I have to go out and do this. It's one of the reasons that the vice presidential pick becomes so important here. Because if Joe Biden picks somebody who is of color, and he already has said it's going to be a female, if he does that, it will be a signal we can come out and we can vote because this really means something. That's why it's so important.
You've talked about what happens if the president loses the coming election in November. Would he leave? Would he say it's rigged? Well, then you have this story today, Alan. Top military official apologizes for role in Trump photo. I shouldn't have been there, said General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Another story out of Bloomberg, Alan. U.S. Army unit was issued bayonets to prep for D.C. protest duty.
Well, look, we saw it. The president got up in Dallas, I guess it was yesterday, and started bragging about how it was like a knife going through butter. It was so easy to clear those people. But if you take a look at the pictures and you see the tear gas and the kind of oppressive measures that were being taken by the Bureau of Prisons people and others who were recruited to symbolically stand there as he took his now famous and ill-fated walk across Lafayette Park over to St. John's Church, what you have is another lie, another big fat lie from a big fat liar.
Well, the president is planning to have big rallies again. He's going to kick it off in Tulsa, not lost on many, especially the African-American community, on Juneteenth. But yeah. How about this? Would you go to a rally where you had to agree not to sue if you got COVID-19?
You got to sign the paper. They say you proceed at your own risk, and it's very legalistic if you want to go. Now, the question is, who does that? You're being warned that, you know, you could get this horrible disease, which often leads to death. Now, what kind of a person is going to say to his family and everybody else, this is a risk I'm willing to take for this president? It's extraordinary. And yet he'll get them. It is part of the culture of, I don't believe a thing I hear. I don't believe Dr. Fauci. I don't believe any of that stuff. I think it's all a hoax, right?
Kind of a disturbing headline. We noted, you and I, in our conversations, that the gun purchases have gone up dramatically. The Times studied 26 million Americans over 12 years. They've learned this in the headline: coronavirus could make America's gun problem even deadlier.
I have no doubt about it. You know, there are those people who think that somebody will come crashing into their house and give them a disease. They can think anything they want. But the gun is central to American politics. It has been for a long, long time. We have a bunch of foolish people in the Supreme Court who, no matter what happens, say our interpretation of this Constitution is that every American could, should, and would have a gun. And David, one of the other things that's interesting is we're hearing that Secretary Mnuchin, who has so much power over the economy, says we can't afford to shut down the U.S. economy again. And that may be true. This pandemic has resulted in a terrible cost in American jobs and the economy, and we know that this president knows that if he can't open up the economy again, he doesn't become president for a second term. And this is my words, not his, but it's clear, even if people have to die.